Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. I love it. I love to talk about it. I love to talk about Jesus, but especially what he has done for me. I mean, after all, what's Walmart for? But who do we share the story of his love with in our own lives? Good question. I don't know about you, but I've been inundated with people wanting to talk about Jesus to me. Bet you have too. Most of the time, we try our best to get away from them, don't we? Especially if you all of a sudden you're getting a bad vibe. But Jesus is our Savior, isn't he? And shouldn't we be open to hearing people talk about him to us? About sharing Jesus with us? All right, so what turns us off about hearing about Jesus? What I actually get tired of is somebody sharing Jesus as rules. Jesus is not rules. Jesus is gospel. But the thing is, you have to go to church. You have to worship God. You have to do what you have to do. I don't know about you, but that's not my God. Okay? My God's an awesome God. We just sang that. He rules from heaven above. His wisdom, power, and love is shared with us. That's an awesome God, don't you think? All right, but the gospel of Jesus, the good news, which is what gospel means, of his life and sacrifice to us, the gospel of Jesus is not rules. It's his love that he shares with us by his gift to us on the cross. I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be fantastic to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him talk and be able to ask him a question? I can't imagine him saying, "Now that's a dumb question." Heard that from my folks a lot. But you know what I mean? You know, I could just feel that happening. You know, wouldn't it be, I mean, Jesus died for us and is telling us about our place in heaven with him. Oh, that to me would be wonderful. Well, our readings today approach this love, I think, with the story of letting the little children come to me. Excuse me. We try and train children in the way of the world, don't we? We've all been parents in here. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. But we usually train them by telling them how they have to act in their lives. And that's important. But that's rules again, isn't it? But yet, somewhere along the line, they have to learn the rules of what society is and how to live in it. But we all know how frustrating and difficult it can be to raise a child, especially when they go through adolescence. Let's look at another scriptural passage and try to get a clearer understanding about what is being said in this passage. In Matthew 18:1 and Luke 9:46, the disciples argue about which of them was the greatest. And they ask Jesus. The disciples understand greatness in terms of human endeavor, accomplishment, and status. That's how we measure our own worth in the world, isn't it? How valuable we are, what we've done, what we've tried, whether we've accomplished it or not. Well, to teach the disciples, Jesus calls over a little child. I don't know about you, but if I was a disciple, how is that going to answer my question about which one of us is the greatest? I don't think that was the response they were looking for. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child over to him and placed the child among them. And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And if anyone, whosoever welcomes, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a great large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Well, Jesus, don't hold back. What do you really mean? But that's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it? Well, why? Well, as we look at this today, we talk about welcoming. Remember the story now of the parable of the two men. One's a tax collector and the other one's a Pharisee. And the Pharisee, you know, I do this and I do that. Look at me, aren't I great? And what's the tax collector say? Be merciful to me, a sinner. Because without you, I have no hope. Isn't that the boat we're all in? Okay, but why the little children? Well, let's look at this a little bit deeper. As adults, we want to do things with our own knowledge and strength. We've learned this, and so we want to be able to fix it. You ever talk to somebody that is listening to you, and all you want to do is vent, but they're going to try and come up with a reason for you to fix it? You need to do it this way. Well, I didn't ask that. But that's human nature, especially men. Women need to talk, and we always want to fix it. Am I true? Well, here's the thing. We struggle with being dependent on others, let alone relying on a God we can't see. Because remember, Christianity is a belief in things unseen, right? Well, children have a dependence on us in the same way, whether they like it or not. They can't reach things, they don't drive, they have limited experience, and they lack ability to do things on their own. I remember my son always said, Cameron, do, you can't do it. But Cameron, do, I want to do it. Well, when you get a little bit bigger, I'll let you help on that. Especially when I'm nailing something and the finger gets in the way. Well, we may, huh? That's right. While we may have the knowledge, resources, and ability, I think we get caught in that trap of doing things on our own with our own strength. And because of that, sometimes we lack humility and won't acknowledge we don't know everything. I'm going to mention my sermon today because we talked about this yesterday. I took the hymnal and the bulletin over to George and Sarah yesterday, and we sat and talked, and I was talking a little bit about my message. Sarah said something really good. We have trouble with this because of pride. Because of pride. Because of our pride, we can't accept the fact that we need somebody. We can't accept the fact that we need help. We can't accept the fact we can't do it on our own. But in the church, can we do it on our own? No, we need help. Well, we welcome God into our lives by being kind to children, both our own, other people's children. That's what the scripture tells us, right? You're caring for what God cares about, the little ones. Our goal is to love, guide, teach our children. And hopefully our example shows them how to live a godly life, not causing them to stumble, as the scripture says, over the curb of sin. Remember that from the catechism? What is sin? Well, it's a curb. We trip over its mirror, show us we're sinners, and it's a guide to lead us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet we forget that it's taking us someplace else. Well, if this is something we have trouble with because of pride, how are we supposed to approach God's love for us? Well, another scripture I found. Luke 18, Matthew 19 gives us similar accounts. All right. This is the one that was our reading today. It's in the Bible twice, two different Gospels. Well, if it's in two different places, do you think it's important? I do. Okay? So the disciples step in. Because the people recognize Jesus, someone significant. They want to come to him. They want his blessing over their children. They want his blessing over to him, over them. So parents, grandparents show their respect for Jesus through this action. Okay, we love our children, and they wanted their children blessed, didn't they? But then the disciples step in, and they think they're doing best for Jesus. Well, no, no, don't bring your kids up here. No, Jesus is important. He's got things to do. To the defense, I'm sure people were bombarding Jesus with requests. You know, it's like that. Remember the old E.F. Hutton commercial? When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Somebody would say something, a real busy restaurant, all of a sudden it got quiet and everybody's focused. I can see that happening with Jesus, can't you? But what they're doing is they're trying to get to Jesus. They're trying to touch the robe. They're trying to touch him. They're trying to get him to bless him. And the disciples are watching this and said, whoa, we got to protect Jesus. So the disciples thought they were doing the right thing, didn't they? But who were these new visitors that were coming to him? Children. They aren't, quote-unquote, important adults or sick people. They're innocent children. Well, he's got other people to deal with. I mean, he's got to heal these people. And these are the money people from the temple. He's got to deal with them first, doesn't he? You can just see Jesus faithful, okay? Oh, boy, boy. You know, and I really think now we're getting to the center of today's scripture. Jesus wants the little children to come to him so he can love them. He wants to take them in his arms, love them. You know, thank you for coming to me. Okay? In his light, look at the face on the kid. He wants those kids around him. You know, we take a look at all of this, and I think what is going on is he's telling us to be innocent in our approach to him. That's not a kid. That's us. Have you ever thought about it that way? Aren't we still the children of God? We're not the adults of God. We're the children of God. And I think sometimes we get so hung up on the fact that we can do everything. We can fix things. You know, we find out we're powerless. You know, it's just when I found out I had leukemia, what do I do? Bill found out his cancer's back. What do? You turn to God. You know, because when the boss makes a decision for you, that's when I'm going to respect and say thank you. But it's the same thing. Christ's love is coming to him, just like Christ's love comes to us. Now, what does Luther say about that love? He says we have to be a conduit. And we can't stop that love flowing through us. Because if we do, then we're not loved. Just like forgiveness. If we don't let forgiveness flow through us onto somebody else, are we forgiven? No. It's the act of us passing on the love of Jesus Christ to someone else. That means you've got to talk about Jesus, doesn't it? And if you're going to talk about Jesus, do you want to listen about Jesus? You know, let's face it. When somebody talks to you, even if they're talking law, are they doing it because it's for them or it's for you? See what I'm getting at? So take a minute and listen to them. Then say thank you. You know, just because they're doing it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they say. But they love you, don't they? Aren't they letting the love flow through them just like we're told to do? I think we are. So we need to be children in our approach to Jesus because we can't achieve anything on our own merits or efforts. Well, that's just like a child. They can't do things without our help, like my son, Cameron, do. But as a loving parent, we're trying to help them be a better person. Isn't that what Jesus does for us? He loves us and knows we are powerless on our own. You know, we can't accomplish eternal life on our own, can we? You know, we need Jesus from the cross to do that. So he tells us, let the little children come to him. And we are those little children who do come to him. I made a point earlier in my message, and now I want to say it again. As adults, we want to do things with our own knowledge and strength. We struggle with being dependent on others, let alone relying on a God we can't see. Now, all of a sudden, this takes on a little bit different meaning, doesn't it? Children have a dependence on us whether they like it or not. Children have a dependence on Jesus whether they like it or not. They can't reach things, they don't drive, they have limited experience, and they lack the ability to do things on their own. Folks, we have that dependence on Jesus too, whether we like it or not. It's not up to us to do, it's up to Jesus to do for us, and we receive it. And I think that's hard for us, because the gospel, we receive. It's not something we do. Remember, law is what we do, gospel is what we receive. So the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to us and we receive it. The grace of God comes to us. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift from that grace through the Holy Spirit. All right, who brings us all this stuff then? The Holy Spirit. Folks, we lack that ability on our own, but is that a negative? No. It's an eternal blessing for us. We were just talking today how blessed we are as people of God, as a congregation. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives today. You know, I've told you this before. When I was a kid in church, I never heard the Holy Spirit talked about. It was always Jesus. Is that wrong? No. But who's our daily walk with? The Holy Spirit. You know, it's because it's the Holy Spirit who guides us, who's in our heart and says, do this. And we do it. In closing today, I want to share something with you. It's one of my favorite explanations from Luther's Small Catechism. But it's not, remember, we don't worship Luther. But he was really a smart pastor. Okay? I wish I was half as smart as he is. But the third article of the Creed, it's on sanctification. Remember, in the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, because I was talking about today, that's why we didn't do it. Apostles' Creed has this. It has, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God, creation, maker. Okay, and in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. All right, so there's the cross. Redemption. Remember, redemption means ransom. He paid. You can't have redemption without paying a bill. And Jesus paid the bill for us. And then it takes us to the third article of the Creed, which is, I believe in the Holy Ghost, one holy Christian church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, folks, realize this creed was in place by 80 A.D. Guess who wrote it? The apostles. That's why we call it the Apostles' Creed. Why? Because when you're trying to teach people and they don't read, there's no things, you have to put things so they remember it, so they taught the creed. In fact, the Southern Baptist Coalition had a big discussion at their convention. What was it? 10 years ago. Because half their churches do the Apostles' Creed, half doesn't. And they said, you should. If the apostles wrote it, it's important. So not only we are taking a look at this, but even some of the fundamentals like the Baptist Coalition, Southern Baptist Church. All right, so Luther said, what does this mean? There's that Lutheran question. What does it mean for us? Answer, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus, my Christ, my Lord, or come to him. We can't do it on our own. but the Holy Spirit. Here we are. We are good, staunch Lutherans, right? But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts. We don't strengthen those enough either, but there it is. You know, when we get into Hebrews 5, the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. Even as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. Does He say here, you have to be Lutheran? No. What does He say you have to be? The whole Christian church on earth. We're all in this together. We all have the same boss. He forgives daily and richly all sin to me and all believers. Man, if He didn't forgive us, we wouldn't have any hope, would we? So He does it daily. But how does He do it? You've got to ask for help. Lord, be with me. Forgive me my sins. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Tax collector this morning. And at the last day will raise up me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ everlasting life. This is most certainly true. That's one of the most powerful discussions of what's in Scripture I've ever seen. Because we can't do it. We need Jesus. And Jesus, in all those scriptures today about the little children, is saying, you can't do it on your own. Come to me. Just come to me. You want to come to Jesus? Come to Him. May our relationship with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus keep our hearts and minds on the goal of our faith, eternal life with our Lord forever. Amen.